Ears would be open, hearts would be open to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I told you last week we talked about what faith is and how Moses by faith, really the faith that Moses had that God gave him changed his life. I told you that Moses, by faith, he refused to be identified even with the world. He refused to even be named with the world. He didn't even want his name listed in the list of names there in Egypt. And he also chose to suffer reproach, amen, rather than have riches and treasures and pleasures, and also he had to lose a few things as a result. And so last week I told you that if God would allow me, I was going to preach on then. If faith was that important, then obviously we need more of it. Amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, really, how we can increase our faith. You see, the Bible says here in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith, I cannot please God. Without faith, my life will never glorify God. And understand, that's what we're here for in this New Testament generation in which we live, the day of salvation. We are to do all things to do to the glory of God. Without faith, my life won't glorify God. Without faith, my prayers will be greatly hindered, if even answered at all. Without faith, I won't see God's power working in my life. If you understand anything about just living above sin, you understand how much we need God's power. We need God involved in everything we do. We need God, we need His power at the center of every day of our lives. Without faith, God's power will not be working in my life because I'm not pleasing Him, and therefore He's not honored by my life and He's not involved. Without faith, listen, I will never grow as a Christian. I will never grow as a Christian. Without faith, I won't have any rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. If I'm not pleasing God, I'm not earning any rewards, you understand? I'm not laying up any treasures in heaven, and without faith, I won't have any rewards when I get there. Without faith, and by the way, you'll be ashamed too, greatly ashamed at His coming. Without faith, I won't have a place of prominence in the kingdom of Christ, amen? I might get there, amen? I might get saved and be born again, but boy, the kingdom of God, heaven is not going to be. Without faith, you understand, I can't even be saved. Understand something, without faith, that no one will ever even be saved. Think about this, without faith, I am more like Cain than Abel. Yeah. You understand, without faith, I am more like Esau than I am Israel, Jacob. Without faith, I'm more like Amalek than I am Moses. Yeah. Remember Sunday night? Yeah. Without faith, I'm more like King Saul than I am David, King David. Without faith, I'm more like Nimrod than I am Noah. Without faith, I'm more like Orpah than I am Ruth. Without faith, I'm more like Haman than I am Mordecai. Without faith, I'm more like Job's wife than I am like Job. Without faith, there's a lot of people today. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Without faith, but though with faith. Think about this, though. Again, in verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them. Think about that. With faith, through faith, I am promised rewards. Not just any rewards, but personal rewards from God. The Bible says He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But what a blessing it is, and to think about all that God might do and could do for me and in my life and through me if I will indeed have increased faith. Now, praise God, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to be saved. Okay? Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Little children just means that I have the faith of a child. I understand I'm a sinner. I understand Jesus Christ died for sins. I understand Christ rose again 3 days later. I understand that without Christ, I am never, ever going to see even the kingdom of God. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I need to place my faith in Jesus Christ, believe and call upon His name. And listen to me, that's the faith of a child. Amen. That's the faith of a child who does not want to continue in sin, but is turned in repentance of faith. Listen, they don't understand all that. They just know they don't want that sin anymore. That sin is bad. They've been been bad, boys or girls, and they come to Jesus Christ and they say, Jesus, I need you to save me. The reason that there aren't more college students on the campus getting saved when we go out there preaching is because they're too much like stiff-necked adults than they are like children. The reason people reject that message of salvation is because they think they're too educated for that. They think they're too smart for that. They think they're too wise for that. But listen, that's the faith of a child, and that's all it takes to be born again. And I praise God for that. I'm thankful for that. But all believers, all of us who are saved, have been given faith. Think about Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is? The grace is, yes, so is the faith.
Amen.
So is the faith. Listen to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's a good one right there. But to think soberly, listen, why? According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given every man whatever measure of faith you have is because God gave it to you. It all came from God. All of us have been given faith. And according to our text verse here in Hebrews 11, verse 6, a lost man cannot please God until he is given faith by God. The saved man, however, I'm preaching to saved folks out here tonight, I believe, we can glorify God. We can please God, listen, despite our sinful nature. Since we're saved, since we have that faith, since we have the faith given to us at salvation, since we have that faith, we can please God in spite of the fact that we are still sinners. We are still very much sinners, and our nature is still there. But listen, here's the key. I can only please God as a sinful man saved by the grace of God if I'm living by faith. And that's a big if. Think about this. Look, in our chapter here, in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is praised. He's lauded for his faith. And if you know anything about Abraham, he lied more than once about his wife. He went down to Egypt when there was a famine. He listened to that same wife and committed adultery with her handmaid. Right, Hagar, and then he had an illegitimate child out of wedlock, and whose name was Ishmael. You understand his name means the wild one. But Abraham's praised in Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Not because he was a sinless man, but because there was enough faith in his life. Sarah, his wife, is in chapter 11. Praised for her faith. She laughed at God's promise. She ridiculed the angel when the angels told them, you're going to have a child. She looked at Abraham. He was about 430 years old. Not really. He was 100 years old, and she was 90-some years old, and she laughed at God. She laughed at God's word. She's in the Hebrews chapter 11 hall of faith. Why? Obviously, not because she was a perfect lady. Jacob is in this chapter. Jacob is a lying con man. Jacob is a deceiver. Jacob was a thief. Moses is in this chapter. I just preached on him. Think about that. He was a murderer. He murdered a man in cold blood. Cold-blooded murder. That's what it was. And then he struck that rock twice. Remember, he struck the rock when he was supposed to talk to it and pray to it and ask for water. He struck it, and he never got to the promised land. Boy, you would think his life was an absolute failure. Wait a minute, but he's in Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because sinners, even though we're born again, we're still sinners, but we have the opportunity, listen to me, to please God if we'll live by faith.
Yeah.
And that's encouraging to me, amen. That's encouraging to me. Rahab is in this chapter.
Right.
Now, Jericho was an absolute filthy, immoral, idolatrous city, and she was a harlot in the middle of all that. So she's in this chapter, though. Gideon is in this chapter. Do you know the story of Gideon? He did not believe God. He said, God, okay, if this is really you, I'm going to lay a fleece out here. And you wet the ground, but don't wet the fleece. And he woke up the next morning, and there it was. And then he said, okay, God, thank you. But can I do something else? This time I'm going to lay it out here, and you wet the fleece, and everything else be dry. And God did it again. And he was constantly doubting God. Amen. Don't raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about. But he's in this chapter. He's in this chapter. Samson is in this chapter.
Yeah.
Now, this is a chapter of heroes, you understand? Samson? God, that's not a typo, is it? No, that's not a typo. Samson was the biggest whoremonger ever walked the face of this planet.
Yeah.
And he's in chapter 11 of Hebrews. David is in this chapter. And David was a great warrior, a great man. Absolutely. David was an adulterous, lying murderer.
Yeah, right.
And he's in chapter 11. Understand something. There's an amazing list of people here. God's trying to encourage you. God's trying to encourage me that we don't have to be sinless. We don't have to be without fault. We have to be born again, and then we have to live our lives by faith. See, these men and women in chapter 11 here were just like you and me, amen? And they were sinners saved by the grace of God. They all had that in common. But understand something. The faith that they had, in whatever faith it was, they had enough faith to please God. Now, do you think if Samson and David and Rahab and Moses and Abraham and Sarah had enough faith, don't you think probably God would give you enough to please Him?
Amen.
Don't you think there's hope for even me and you? Glory to God. I think there is, amen. And that's the point of this message here tonight. How then, listen, if we could please God by the faith of Samson, please God by the faith, well, how much more could we please God if we had even more faith than that?
Right.
And think about that. I think we can safely say the more faith we have, then the more our lives will please God.
Right.
Now, I'm not preaching to someone who doesn't care about that, but you're here on a Wednesday night and when you could be anywhere else.
Right?
It's a free country. You could go anywhere and done anything you wanted to tonight. I believe you came here on purpose. I don't think it was a social purpose. I don't think you came here just to sit in the chairs and enjoy the light and look at me. I think you came because maybe you might just be a little bit interested in maybe my life pleasing God.
Yeah.
Pleasing God. Because God rewards those that please Him. That's a blessing. So number one, quickly, how can we grow? How can our faith increase? Turn with me now to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. The first one, none of these are going to shock you. But I want you to understand something. Every one of them goes together. You can't take one away from the other ones, okay? These all, I'm just going to give you three simple things here tonight about how to increase your faith, and they all go together. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, a threefold cord, you know, you can take a piece, a strand of rope and snap it, but when you wrap another piece around it and wrap another piece around it, that's all rope is, stranded rope. All it is different cords wrapped around each other so that it's stronger.
Right.
Okay? So what we have here in Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses may come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, the first thing I want you to understand, and I'm going to show you a bunch of scriptures here. Get ready now. The first thing that needs to do, if I'm going to increase my faith, if my faith is going to be increased, the first thing that has to increase in my life is preaching. Okay, I knew you weren't going to think that's what I was going to say. Preaching. Look, this is just one example. I'm going to prove this to you. This is one example of Jesus preaching to his disciples. Jesus was telling them, he said, it's impossible that offenses will come. Woe unto him through whom they come. He says it were better. Then he says, take heed in verse 3 to yourselves. That thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And then he says, forgive him over and over again, even seven times a day. Now he's telling them, listen to me, he's telling his disciples what they had to do. He was telling them how to live their lives. In this case, the fact that, now don't get caught up in the forgiveness here. That's just one instance of him preaching. He preaches to them about a lot of different topics. But here I'm pointing out to you that he's telling them, this is what you have to do. Understand something, that's what preaching is.
Right.
Not me telling you what to do, but telling you, God telling us what to do. You see, preaching is different than teaching. Teaching imparts knowledge. Teaching gives you facts and figures and understanding and knowledge. But preaching, listen to me now, don't miss this. Preaching makes you choose.
Sure.
Preaching makes you choose. It's not just getting knowledge. When the Bible is preached from the Bible by the man of God through the Holy Spirit power, it's completely different than you sitting in the Sunday school class learning how big the walls of Jericho were.
Right.
Or how many times they can pass. See, preaching lays an ultimatum at your heart's door where you have to make a decision of what you're going to do with it. See, when Jesus told his disciples, he said, listen, you're going to forgive him 7 times in a day. You're going to And it wasn't a matter of, he wasn't teaching them anything. He was telling them, this is how you're supposed to live.
Yeah.
See, preaching is different than teaching. And preaching, listen to me, is intended by God to increase our faith. Because it's not about learning something. It's about doing something.
Yeah.
Faith is, listen, learning, knowledge is not going to increase your faith. Okay, stay with me now. Y'all are getting real quiet. That's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Yeah, when I get through with this one point here, you're going to understand why our country is the absolute disaster that it is today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Wisdom of words is how we learn things. But not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. If I'm just trying to teach you something with some wisdom of words, then the cross and the preaching of the gospel is not going to affect you at all. Listen, let's read on here in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved... Amen. We've already got that measure of faith that God gave us. For unto us that are saved, it is what? The power of God.
Amen.
Amen. We're not going to get more faith unless without the power of God. Listen, let's read on here. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Those students out there today on that campus, they're going there to get more understanding of this and that and the other and maybe increase their wisdom of this field or that field of technology or science or whatever, medicine. But understand something. That's not what we're talking about. The Apostle Paul said, God didn't send me for that. Look in verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And for after that, in the wisdom of God, look in verse 21 now. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. They're not going to know God by learning about things. Okay? The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Look what it says now. It pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? That believe. So the foolishness of preaching brings a man to a point of believing, and then he saves them.
Amen.
Not imparting wisdom, not imparting knowledge, but preaching, amen. Preaching the word of God, thus saith the Lord, and you either take it or you leave it, but you're never going to have increased faith until you have preaching of the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? Now, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look over now, understand something in Romans chapter 10. This is the verse I know many of you, if not all of you, would say, yes, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 10. See, man cannot have faith simply by learning about God and understanding about creation. And that's not how God increases faith. He increases faith through preaching of the Bible, making men choose. Romans 10, 17. Look what it says. This verse. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, wait a minute. So we would all say, well, they just need to hear the Word of God more. That's exactly right. But you cannot skip the context in Romans chapter 10. Go back with me to verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? How then shall they call in him who they have not believed? That's faith. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without
preacher?
That is not just hearing the Bible. That is not just studying the Bible. That is not just reading the Bible. That is hearing the preaching of the Bible. That's when faith is increased.
Amen.
You see, that context, it's not, we have abused that verse. We have misused that verse. We have really ripped that verse to shreds. You think that somebody's going to increase their faith. Listen, it's about the preaching of the Bible to where there's a man of God preaching in the power of the Spirit of God. In that same text, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That doesn't teach you anything. That tells you, if you don't do that, you're damned to hell. That's that you've got to make a decision. The Bible says, with the heart, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that's not learning anything. That's doing something. That's preaching. See, that's preaching. You've got to hear this book preached, and then you've got a decision to make. Look what verse 15 says. How shall they preach except they be sent? And how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We're talking about preaching in Romans 10:17. Preaching. Hearing the Word of God, yes, but hearing it how? By the preaching of the Bible. Amen. By a preacher being sent, amen, to their college campus. A preacher being sent to their front door. A preacher. So when I go tell the gospel, preach the gospel, by the way, can I say something to you here? We don't share the gospel.
Right.
Amen.
Stop saying that. That's liberal. That's modernism. We preach the gospel. When you say that, you're not copying. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Nowhere does it say share the gospel. You heard that on some liberal radio station, some liberal teacher, preacher, some ungodly fool out there. It's not sharing anything. I'm preaching the gospel.
Amen.
I'm to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Okay. Y'all can get quiet on me if you want to, but I'm still going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And listen to me. The Bible says I'm to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. There's teaching involved in other things for discipleship after they get saved. Understand that. But the preaching of the gospel, yes, is going to help me grow in my faith. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. See, preaching is designed by God. Preaching is given by God to increase our faith. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm not trying to teach you something new. I just want you to understand something. We don't share, amen. We preach the gospel. There's a big difference. I'm not sharing some fable, fiction, fairy tale with you. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm telling you, listen, Jesus died on the cross because we were hell-bound, undeserving sinners. And except we repent and place our faith in that blood of Jesus Christ, we will never be born again. That's not sharing a story. That's preaching the gospel. And listen, that's what we need to do when we go door to door. That's what we need to do when we walk around our neighborhood and talk to our neighbors. That's what we need to do. Listen, it's not about being disrespectful, but it's about preaching the gospel to somebody because that's what God is going to use to bring forth faith in their heart. You go sharing a story with somebody, what good is that? See, that's what everybody else is telling you to do. That's what you hear everywhere you hear on the radio and those cockeyed, ridiculous TV preachers sharing everything. Where did you get that from the Bible? Show me a verse. Show me a verse. The Great Commission is to preach the gospel to every creature. Listen to me. I'm not being unkind. I don't know why you are so quiet. I thought this church already knew this. But listen, we don't share anything.
Amen.
We preach the gospel.
Amen.
If you want to share, you know, teach your kids to share a piece of candy, that's fine. But we're preaching the gospel.
Amen.
It makes a difference because God has chosen that method of saving souls, for saving souls. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 now. Let us therefore fear. lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel what? Preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, preaching is designed by God to produce faith in the heart. And if it doesn't, if we harden our heart and we don't allow the preaching to produce faith in our hearts, it's not going to profit us. That's what it says. The preaching did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. They had hardened their hearts. They had fallen asleep. They had just wandered off into la-la land in their mind, just thinking about everything else, not concerned about the preaching, not concerned about the Word of God. And it did not profit them any, but it profited those who did have it mixed with faith. Because that's what God designed. The spirit today, listen to me, the spirit of our church and our world today is against this.
Right.
That's why the Apostle Paul said, listen to me, young man Timothy, he said, preach the word. Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lusts heap to themselves teachers. Why? Because that doesn't bring faith, that doesn't bring conviction, that doesn't bring anything but a good fuzzy feeling in their butt, in their belly. And that doesn't do anything to make them make a decision for Christ. Because see, when I preach the gospel and I lay it down at the heart's door like God says to do, you've got a decision to make. You've got to make a decision. What am I going to do with that now?
Right.
But if I just hear a little story like Alice in Wonderland and I go off home with a nice little warm fuzzy feeling in my belly, what good does that do me?
Right.
But see, that's what's going on today. That's our world today. That's what the problem is in America. Preachers aren't preaching anymore because they don't want to offend anybody, because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, because they don't want to make, they don't have invitations anymore because it makes people uncomfortable. We see the second step in this increasing our faith is prayer. Go back to Luke 17. Go back to Luke 17 now. You're going to see a whole church service here. Jesus preached to them about forgiveness, repenting, someone repenting, rebuking. Don't forget that now. He said, if you rebuke them and they repent, then forgive them. And then he said, and then the disciples came to the altar. Amen. Luke chapter 17, the disciples came to the altar and they said, Lord, increase our faith.
Amen.
You understand? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus is the author of our faith.
Amen.
You understand that, right? Jesus is the author of our faith.
Amen.
And if God gives us that measure of faith, as we talked about, so when the Bible is preached, it's God working in my heart. When the Bible is preached, it's God moving in my heart to change me, to grow me, to move me, to make me do something different or change something in my life. And then the second part is, okay, I need to pray now. Because God's told me something that I don't think I can do. You see, and that's exactly what they said, oh Lord, increase our faith.
Yeah.
They went to the altar after Jesus preached. Now, by the way, that's why that's here, y'all. That's why this old-fashioned altar is here. Because when there's preaching, God's spoken to you, and you need to spend some time in prayer after that.
Yeah.
Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. God gives faith as a spiritual gift through the Holy Spirit. If we want our faith to grow, therefore, we need to ask for more faith. These disciples in verse 5 said, oh, Lord, increase our faith. You've told us to do something that we've never heard before. You've told us to do something we've never done before. You told us to do something nobody else has ever told us to do before. We're not sure we can do this, Lord. We need you to help us increase our faith.
Yeah.
See, the preaching is the first step.
That's right.
But then when the preaching speaks to my heart and tells me, look, I've got to stop this, I've got to start that, I've got to change this, I've got to go there, I've got to stop going here, I've got to do something, then I need to go. I'm talking about if my faith is going to increase. Now, if you skip any of these, your faith's not going to increase. Like I told you, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You can have one and not the other, and you're not going to have increased faith. But see, Jesus preaching calls them in their hearts to stir sure it's something in their heart that they'd never had before, and they said, "Oh Lord, increase our faith." They prayed.
Yeah.
Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Preaching and then prayer. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Now this is where the Father brought the Son to Jesus, and he's on the ground wallowing and foaming. He's filled with an unclean, dumb spirit. He can't talk. He's filled with Satan. And then oftentimes the Bible says in verse 22, "And hath cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if," he says in verse 22 to Jesus, "if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Listen, Jesus said unto him, Jesus preached a little bit here, look, he said, "If thou canst believe." Now, he's not teaching them anything. He's saying, if you can believe, if you would believe me, all things are possible to him that believeth. Listen, that ain't teaching anything. That's preaching.
Right. Yeah.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now, that's Jesus preaching to this man. And this, look what this man said. Straightway, the father of the child cried out. To who? To the Lord Jesus. He prayed, amen. He cried out on his knees with tears. He said, "Lord, I believe." He said, "Help thou."
Yeah.
Mine unbelief. Yeah. He said, "Lord, I believe, but I need more faith."
Yeah.
He prayed when Jesus preached.
Right.
He prayed after Jesus preached. He prayed. He said, "Oh God, I need more faith. You're right." It cut him to the heart. He said, "I need more faith. You're right, Lord. My son is sick, and I don't have the faith that I need." And Jesus is preaching to him, and he prayed. See, this is the altar call after the preaching. There's preaching, then there's prayer.
Yeah.
You know what? I would never, I don't care what you think or what you've been told by some sharing teacher, I would never skip an altar call. Because unless you're just not listening, God's speaking to your heart.
Amen.
It may be something completely unrelated to what I'm saying, but you're under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God, and God has designed preaching to increase your faith.
Amen.
I would never skip an altar call.
Right.
You say, "Well, preacher, I can't go up there every time." You tell me why not.
Yeah, come on.
Tell me why not.
Yeah, come on, preacher, brother.
Why not? Yeah. Well, because I don't need to pray. Okay, well then what happened? Where were you at when I was preaching? What were you listening to when I was preaching? Well, the preaching didn't speak to my heart. Then you need to run to this altar first before anybody else, because you got a heart problem. I would not skip the altar call. I don't care who you are. I don't care what church you come from or what church you come out of. I don't care who told you, "Well, that's just for this or that's just for the other." I'm telling you right now, that's part of increasing your faith.
Right.
The preaching of the Bible, then the altar call. Praying, "Lord, increase my faith. Lord, you spoke to me about this. Lord, you spoke to me about that. I need you to help me increase my faith. Help thou mine unbelief."
Right.
Preaching. Praying. Now you're getting more of a picture why our country is so dead. There's no preaching anymore, and when there is any preaching, people sit there like a bump on a log at the altar call.
That's right.
They sit there like, "Well, what is it? I don't need this. What's everybody down at the altar for?" I mean, that's a big heart problem right there. So what's happened is preachers have quit preaching, quit giving altar calls, but listen to me, by the grace of God, we're not going to quit doing what God has ordained us to do.
Amen.
Amen. Preach the Bible, preach the gospel, preach the word, preach it here in season, out of season, whether you like it or not, and then if you want your faith increased, you get down here and you pray.
Amen.
And you say, "Lord, help me increase my faith. Lord, help me, because I didn't get nothing out of that. Something's wrong with me." I would never skip an altar call. Your heart's cold. Your heart's hard. You're just not listening. But listen, there's a third step. And these are three, all three together now. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Remember Abraham, he's in the hall of faith. He wasn't a perfect man by far. He was in the hall of faith, though, in Hebrews chapter 11. James chapter 2. Now we're going to see a little bit more about Abraham. Verse 19. "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble."
Yep.
Yeah. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?"
Right.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works in the sight of men when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou, notice verse 22, now don't miss this. This is the key verse. Seest thou then how faith wrought with his works, and by works, notice this, was faith made perfect. Okay? So it's preaching, it's prayer, then it's practicing. Performing, whatever you want to call it. It's doing what God said.
That's right.
Okay? God says that Abraham's faith was made perfect.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean without flaw, without error. That means mature. That means well-rounded. Amen? That means strong.
Right.
Strong. Could it ever be said about you? Would your friends or family ever say, wow, his faith is perfect? Now, listen, we're not here to puff ourselves up and say, yeah, I think maybe I could say. No, but think, just examine yourself.
Right.
I would never be dumb enough to say, well, my faith is perfect. I think my faith is where it needs to be. No, I don't think any of us would ever say that. So this is what I'm trying to hear. This is what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. There's a third step in this process of increasing our faith, and that is practicing what we've heard preached.
Yeah.
Okay? Practicing what we've heard preached. For example, I stand up here and I preach on Sunday mornings, and many times I preach something along the lines of, hey, you know, it's God's will that you be in church on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Hey, it's God's will that you come back to church and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Hey, it's God's will. And by the way, I'm not teaching them anything. I'm preaching. I'm saying you've got a decision to make. It's God's will that you yield yourself as an instrument of righteousness in His hand to serve Him and never forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The holy convocation, the solemn assembly of the saints. And on Sunday morning, and they walk out and say, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, come on.
Now, those are not the strong Christians in our church.
No.
You know why? Because they are not practicing what they heard preached. They don't even go to the altar, and they walk out of here. They don't even intend on even trying.
Yeah. Yep.
To practice what they heard preached. You go find them next year at the same time. If they're doing the same thing, guess where their faith's going to be? Right where it's at now.
All right.
That's just one example.
Yeah.
But what is it with you? What is it in your life? What is it that you don't intend doing either? I just can't see that. God can.
Amen.
Yeah. And your faith will never be mature and complete and whole and growing and strong until you, by faith, do the works that God has put before you. See, Abraham's faith was perfected by the works that he did for the Lord by faith. That's what we do. Listen, when we hear the message, we come to the altar and we pray, oh Lord, I heard you tonight. I heard your voice. Help me. I remember, oh man, good night, whatever year that was. Years ago, down in Fort Worth, when I heard Brother Ogden preaching one, I think it was a Sunday night, and I was praying. I was thinking, Lord, God, you've called me to preach, and God, it's time for me to go to Bible college and study the Bible and prepare my life for ministry. And Lord, but I don't have any money. And Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make this work. I can't quit my job because that's the only way we pay our bills. And you know, all of those questions. And I remember Brother Ogden preaching. I don't have a clue what he was preaching about. God said, go to Bible college. That's God said it as plain as it. Now, it wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't some kind of vision. It wasn't some kind of glowing archangel on the back of the baptistry. It was just the voice of God through the preaching of the Bible. And then I went down to the altar. And I said, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. How is this ever going to work? I don't know how this is. How am I going to pay for this? I can't go to Bible college because I have a job during the day full time. So I went down to the altar and I prayed.
Amen.
And boy, did I pray. And I whined a little bit. And I said, oh God, I can't do this. What do you mean go to Bible college? What about my family? What about my bills? Lord, I'll do it if you ask me to. Lord, I'll do it if you want me to. You know, it kind of starts off like David in the Psalms. He's fussing, he's fuming, he's complaining. By the end of the chapter, he said, oh God, I love you. Thank you for increasing my faith. And listen, I went to Bible college. I finished Bible college in 4.5 years. But I got out. All my bills were paid. I completed. I got the diploma to prove it. Amen. I practiced what I heard preached after I went down and prayed about it.
Amen.
That's just one example, guys. But that's how this whole thing works.
Amen.
It's not going to be, you know, it may not be as astronomical as going to Bible college with a full family and an old man and already had gray hair. And it's not going to be something maybe that large, but, it, you know, what about if God's called you to preach?
Yeah.
What about if God wants you to go to the mission field? What about if God wants you to be more faithful to tithe? What about if God wants you to drive a bus route? What about if God wants you to teach a Sunday school class? You see, I can't, Lord, I can't. So you just stand there when God speaks to your heart. You just stand there at the altar call. You don't come down and pray about it. And then you're surely not going to practice what you've heard preached.
That's right, brother preaching. Come on.
See, this is what we do. This practicing is what we do with the message when we leave church.
Amen.
Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee. He wasn't teaching him anything. He said, Satan hath desired to have thee, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He said, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What did that mean? Jesus said, when you decide, hey, listen, to come to me and trust me and quit denying me every time the it's too hot in the kitchen.
Yeah.
The heat turns up and you run away and say, I don't know him. I don't know him. Blankety blank. I don't know who you're talking about. He said, Jesus said, you know what? As soon as you decide to quit denying me and start trusting me when you're converted, hey, you're going to go out and practice some things that I preach and talk to you.
Amen.
And that's exactly what he did.
That's right.
I want my faith to increase. Well, listen, every time you miss preaching, you miss an increase in faith.
Yep.
Right. Amen.
Every time you don't come down and pray about what you heard at the altar, you're saying, Lord, I don't need that. Amen. I'll say it for you. Amen. That's what I said. I don't know why you guys resist that stuff, but it's right here in the Bible.
Amen.
Are you too good to use the old-fashioned altar? I don't, listen to me. These altars, not these exactly, but altars like this one, are where lifelong decisions have been made, or where God has used God's old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction to bring sinners to the foot of Christ, to bring old-fashioned weirdos like me to preach the gospel one day in the middle of UNT campus. It's not because I was some kind of superhuman. It's because God preached. I used the altar and I practiced what he said to do. And I'm nobody. Listen to me. I'm certainly not some kind of super saint. I know. Thank you for not saying amen there. I'm not. Thank you. That was very polite of you. Thank you. Wow, I feel loved. But this is real for everybody.
Right.
It's real for everybody. Now go to Genesis with me real quick and I'm done. Genesis chapter 21. I'm going to give you a real, real vivid illustration here. And we'll be done. Genesis 21, verse 33. Genesis 21, verse 33. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things, okay, that God did tempt Abraham. Now, understand something. That word tempt there means try or test, okay? Prove his heart. It came to pass that God decided, I'm going to test Abraham's faith. And he said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I will tell thee of. God didn't teach him anything in that verse.
Right.
He said, Abraham, this is what I want you to do.
Right.
No explanations. No song and dance. No soft music by the piano. He simply said, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. And listen, that's preaching.
Right.
You have a decision to make.
Right.
Abraham in verse 3 rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took one of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I, the lad, will go yonder and worship and come again. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now listen, this is what I'm talking about, practicing what you heard preached.
Right.
I mean, Abraham is doing exactly what God said. He has no idea what's going to happen. He's just doing what God said. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the wood and the fire, fire and the wood, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. What does that show you right there? That Abraham's faith is to the point of absolute perfection. Absolute. He trusts God with his own son. He trusts God with giving him his own son, literally as a burnt offering. They went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. He's practicing exactly what God told him to do. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife and slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. I want you to understand something. God's preaching. Abraham's talking to God. And he's practicing what he heard preached. Now he said, Abraham, now I know that you fear me. That's what he says there. He said, Abraham, do thy son no harm. Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. All of that, the Bible tells us, was a test. It was a test of his faith. It was God testing his faith. How? Preaching. Preaching. Tell him what to do. Tell him to do something that made no sense even. Tell him to do something that he'd never heard before. Hey, can I say this to you? Tell him to do something that God had never told anybody else to do. And never has since. Preaching. Abraham was in community. He said, Hear my Lord. That's prayer. He said, Lord, hear my. Here I am. God told him what to do. He said, Here am I. He prayed. Responding, and then he went out the very next day, early in the morning, and he practiced it. And in chapter 2 of James, the Bible says his faith was made perfect. We need our faith increased. We need to thank God when God preaches to us.
Amen.
We need to thank God and respond to God in prayer when God preaches his word to us. Listen, it has nothing to do. When you do not mix the preaching of the Bible with faith, it will do you no good. But because you're not letting God do what he's trying to do. Preach that Bible. Preach that word so that faith will come. Faith will increase.
Amen.
And then you practice it. You practice it. Now, you cut any one of those three out, it's not going to increase. A threefold cord. You skip the preaching, you're not going to know. I didn't design this thing, y'all. God gave us this church. God gave us a pastor. God gave us the ordination or the ordaining, the order, really. Preach the word. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For doctrine, for correction, for instruction, for instruction in righteousness. God has given us everything so that the man of God may be perfect. But then he says, now you preach the word so that they can be perfect as well. Man, I'm telling you, it doesn't work any different for me. God preaches this message to me before I ever preach it to you. And then sometimes even while I'm preaching, God's preaching to me. You don't even have any idea. I just can't tell you everything because it's personal. And so is yours. I don't expect you to get up here and pray out loud and tell everybody what God said, but just spend some time in prayer and respond to God's preaching and then go practice it. I promise you, you're going to see an amazing thing happen in your life.
Amen.
Your faith is going to increase. I remember at the revival, right, Brother Evan, when he gave a testimony of what his trench was. That's all this is God giving you a trench, you respond in prayer, and then you go practice it. And boy, he said, I think God wants me to go preach on the campus of UNT. And listen, but you know, he's doing it now. And I promise you, he knows that God's working. A young man just about got saved today. It's coming.
Amen.
It's coming. And when that happens, I told my wife about it when we got home, and she said, boy, wait till that happens. Boy, that's going to be great. That's going to be incredibly encouraging. And that's exactly right. But more than that, it's going to increase all of our faith, especially his.
Amen.
And mine. That's how it works. Listen, God's told me and God's told us we've got to start another church in Little Elm. I'm still praying about that, y'all. That's one of those things I'm really praying about. But we're going to do it.
Amen. Amen.
We've got to do it. It's what God told us to do.
Amen.
But boy, we're going to pray about it. God, give me the faith to go talk to those people. God, give me fruit. Lead us to somebody who will get saved. Lead us to a family who will accept the gospel, hear the preaching, and they will pray. And they'll listen. That's even salvation. You hear the preaching, you pray and ask God to save you, and then if you really get saved, you're going to start practicing some things that you didn't practice before.
Amen.
Like, first of all, you're going to get baptized, and et cetera. You understand?
Amen.
That's how it works. We're going to pray about Little Elm. We're going to practice it too. Amen. In March, somehow or another, by the grace of God, and through a whole lot of increased faith, amen, we're going to get services rolling over there.
Amen.
And on and on and on. What's God said to you? Stop. By the way, don't pray about it for the rest of your life, okay? You've got to go practice it, or it's not going to, your faith is not going to, you know, okay, I'm going to go pray about it again, Lord. Okay, it's time to practice it now.
Amen.
A threefold cord is important. All three of them are important. Because it was Abraham's works that made his faith perfect. After the preaching, through prayer. Our Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this message tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible, how it opens things up to us, Lord. And we do need increased faith. Oh, Lord, how many times you have used this